Somewhere between detentions, deportations, and temporary legal status, there's this gray area where people periodically do what is known as a check-in.
It's basically an appointment with an ICE officer to meet one-on-one. And the people going to these appointments are there for different reasons. Some are there because, let's say, ICE got wind they've been living here illegally for a while, but they're not a priority.
Others check in because they are getting deported, and they've got one last chance to ask for more time.
Most meetings don't usually last too long. The agent checks some basic information, like is the person still living where they say they live? Are they still working and not getting in trouble with the law?
And people check in from once every few months to maybe once a year to essentially be monitored.
The deportation officer may say, you're not a threat to public safety. I'm not going to use my resources to deport you. So come back next month so that I can see that you're not trying to, you know, run away from me.
That's Camille Meckler, Director of Legal Affairs with the New York Immigration Coalition. I asked the organization to connect us with someone who was scheduled to do a check-in. So our intrepid intern, Nicola Acevedo, and I met a 50-year-old man named Martin Martinez.
We met him outside of the ICE offices here in New York City a couple months ago.
Hi.
He's here with his wife and daughter.
And what was this morning like for you? Did you sleep okay?
No, of course not. I was thinking all night, you know, and worry, you know, about what is going to happen today.
Martin has jet black hair and a matching mustache. He works as a warehouse stocker for a well-known office supply chain. He's been living in the U.S. for the last 30 years. When he came here back in the 80s, things were different. There was no border wall, no ICE, and getting here illegally was a lot easier.
Martin had two kids here in the U.S., Martin Jr., who's 27 and a new dad, and Maria, who's 22 and works for the state government in New York.
We honestly don't know what we're going to walk into.
There's a lot on the line at today's check-in. Martin has a deportation order. And last time he was here, the immigration officer told him he was scheduled to leave the country July 1st. He told Martin that he should come back today, June 13th, and bring a one-way plane ticket to Mexico.
They asked you to buy a ticket?
Yes.
With your own money?
Yes.
And did you do that?
Yes.
One-way flight from JFK to Mexico City with a layover in Orlando. And this is something that Camille, who we heard from earlier, says happens more often than people know.
You think deportation means taking somebody and putting them on the plane? Oh, no. That is the last resort. Most people who are deported are buying their own plane ticket to leave the country.
A spokeswoman with ICE said this practice is normal and it's been going on for years. At today's check-in, Martin and his family are hoping to ask for more time so he doesn't have to get on that flight.
They may tell us, you know, we'll give you extra time to stay here, or they may just say, which is a worst case scenario, you have to leave July 1st.
The reason Martin is here today, in part, stems from something that happened 20 years ago. In the late 1990s, Martin was pulled over for a faulty taillight. The police officer then noticed that Martin had been drinking, so he was charged with a DUI.
But because Martin couldn't prove he was living in the U.S. legally, he was taken to an immigration detention center where he was held for a couple of weeks, then released. A few years later, he got another DUI.
A spokeswoman with ICE said Martin went in front of an immigration judge in 2004, who said he should leave the country. But Martin appealed that decision. And in 2007, he was told he was up for deportation.
But it wasn't until 2013 that ICE came to Martin's door. Martin was told he needed to go meet with an ICE officer. That's when he started the check-ins.
Which he did in 2013, 2014, 2015, and last year. Routine visits, like we described earlier. Until a few months ago, when he was told he was now facing deportation.
He was asked to come in April, May, and June. And each time, the visits became more stressful.
But still, that didn't mean he would necessarily be deported. Many people who have deportation letters end up going to these check-ins sometimes for years before anything changes in their cases. And some eventually even find a legal way to stay in the U.S. So why show up at all? Well, because if you don't show up, you're deemed a fugitive. So as stressful as these check-ins are, it's better than the alternative.
Okay, back to Martin's appointment.
We put our recording gear away and we go through security. Okay, so this place essentially looks like the DMV. It's 9 a.m. and the room is packed. There aren't two empty chairs together, so Martin and his wife sit in different rows. Maria leans against a nearby wall.
every 10 to 20 minutes, an officer just opens a door, calls out a name, and every time this happens, the room gets quieter.
Martin is familiar with this room. He says there used to be a portrait of the president on the wall above an ICE insignia, but today there's only a small nail on that wall. No hay foto del otro, he says, meaning that there's no photo of the other guy, Trump.
It's noon now, and the room is starting to empty out.
An immigration officer calls out Martin's name.
About 10 minutes later, Martin and his lawyer come out, and the lawyer tells the family that the ICE officer had to call a supervisor because the ticket should not have had a layover. So Maria runs out to the hallway and gets on her phone to buy a new ticket.
It's 12:45 now. The immigration officer opens the door and calls out Martin's name again. Martin and his lawyer go back in.
Not even 2 minutes go by, and the door opens again.
At this point, they're expecting one of two things to happen. Either the ICE officer says, "All right, Martin, you have to get on that flight and leave the country in 2 weeks," or, "We're granting you more time to appeal your case." But when the door opens, something unexpected happens. Only the lawyer comes out. He walks straight to Maria and hands her a pair of reading glasses and a wallet. They're her dad's. The lawyer then tells Maria they took him into custody. We just left the ICE office. We're not allowed to record anywhere near the building. So, Nicole, let's just kind of talk through what just happened.
Martin had just been unexpectedly detained because the ticket he had bought with his own money following his deportation order had a layover. ICE requires people to buy nonstop flights out of the United States so they can be sure that the person, in this case Martin, actually leaves the country. And now, Fernanda Chavarri and Nicola Acevedo pick up the story.
When we talked to them this morning, they seemed
like anxious.
But I don't think anyone ever expected that on such a small technicality, Martin wouldn't be able to go back to upstate New York with his wife today.
After Martin was detained, the family asked us to give them some space, so we left. They told us to meet them a little later at the ICE holding facility where Martin was being taken. So we go inside and find Maria and her mom at the building's cafeteria.
What was going through your mind when the lawyer came out by himself and he handed you the wallet and the glasses from your dad?
I was in shock because I saw my dad's face and immediately I realized, oh my God, they are taking him in.
You could see him inside?
Yeah, I saw my dad and I saw other officers.
After her dad was detained, Maria's mom started crying. But this 22-year-old kept her cool and she went straight into fix-it mode.
I felt guilty and I felt terrible because I bought the ticket with the layover and really just a mistake, right? A mistake that anyone can make. I mean, I'm dealing with my dad potentially facing deportation, and I still have to buy this one-way ticket to Mexico knowing that he's not going to come back. That's a hard thing to do.
There's something else. Martin is diabetic, and he has a heart condition. So they go full force on a mission to get him out.
Maria calls politicians, advocacy groups, and reporters because she wants to get attention on her dad's case.
Now, this type of public call-out has become sort of normal in the last decade. But there is a heightened sense of urgency right now because this administration has made it a priority to deport people.
So Maria is using her Rolodex to get a press conference going. And since she's been working with local and state politicians for a while, she knows a lot of people who would show up.
While she's doing all of this, her dad is spending his first Father's Day as a grandpa in detention.
After a week of countless phone calls, emails, and public statements from politicians, Martin was released from detention.
But he's still scheduled to be deported. Being released from detention basically means that Martin can go home to be with his family for 2 weeks, but he still has to get on that plane July 1st and go back to Mexico. Camille from the New York Immigration Coalition, who we heard from at the top of the story, believes that if Martin's case had happened before the new administration,
we would have probably been able to negotiate, give us a week to come back with a different ticket, or give us even a date to come back with a different ticket that shows that we're complying.
Or in the case that I saw, give us an hour They did come back with a ticket, but the officer just didn't want to see it at that point. It's now June 30th. It's a Friday, the day before Martin is supposed to get on a plane. We reach out to him, but Maria tells us that her dad is upset and would rather not speak to any reporters.
So we meet Maria at a Starbucks near her office before she heads upstate to help her dad pack.
We're planning on leaving quite a few hours in advance because we have to meet with the ICE agents at the gate.
Maria bought a ticket next to her dad on that same flight. She didn't want him to be alone on the plane.
I just can't bear that thought, so I wanted to go with him and make sure that I was there during that first moment where he returned back to his country.
Maria plans to stay in Mexico for about a week and help her dad get settled. And her mom is also thinking about going to Mexico, too, because she can't imagine being without her partner of 30 years.
As for Maria and her brother, moving is not an option right now. They were born here, grew up here, have jobs here. They're U.S. citizens. What the Martinez family is going through is not new. Families all over the country have been separated by deportations under Bush and Obama. But there is a new tone coming from the White House that for Maria goes beyond immigration laws.
Honestly, yeah, I mean, the elephant in the room, we have to acknowledge it's because of Trump. And honestly, it's an act of pure racism. It's more about, you know, you don't belong here. And it's a terrible feeling because me being a Mexican-American, I was born here, I'm caught between two things, you know? I feel as if I'm not welcome here only because of where my family comes from.
Finally, the day arrives, July 1st.
Family and friends were at the Martinez home saying goodbye before driving to the airport.
The ICE agent had called me too, and he was very friendly over the phone. He was nice. It's like, all right, we're running about 15, 20 minutes behind, but we'll meet you at the terminal.
The agents finally showed up in a pickup truck wearing plain clothes. They told Maria and Martin to meet them outside in the passenger pickup area and asked him to sign a few forms.
Which means that my dad is signing that, yeah, he's now, in fact, leaving the country and his order of deportation is now being taken into effect. What was more heartbreaking was seeing my brother say goodbye to my dad. My dad was crying his eyes out.
And your mom?
She was crying.
Martin was devastated, but felt some relief to have his daughter by his side.
The whole time I was just holding his hand and walking him to the security, you know, checkpoint.
The two arrived at the gate. The ICE officer hovered for 2 hours until they got on the plane. But before they boarded the plane, the ICE officer said something that Maria remembers very well.
He came up to us and he shook my dad's hand and said, "Mr. Martinez, have a great flight. Hopefully there's a way that they can bring you back." So he said that.
It's been a month since Martin was deported. He has been living with his brother in a small town in the Mexican state of Puebla, a place Martin hadn't visited since he was a teenager.
Maria tries to call her dad as much as possible. She usually remains positive, but a couple of weeks ago, she couldn't.
You could hear it in my voice that I was about to break down, and my dad was asking me, he was like, "Are you okay? What's wrong?" It's like, "Nothing. I just wanted to ask how you're doing." So it's been very, very hard.
Maria and her brother plan to visit their dad in Mexico whenever possible. Last week, their mom left the U.S. to be with their dad.
That Saturday afternoon at the airport, when the family was separated, passersby might have seen them and thought it was just like any other airport goodbye. People hugging and crying, but it wasn't. This was a deportation. And these are happening more than people know. Right there, between the newsstand and the security checkpoint at Newark Airport.
Our thanks to Fernanda Chavarri and Nicola Acevedo for that story.